Welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. I'd like us to go back to chapter 29 again this evening, and I want us to take a look at the last verse that we read. I'm going to read that to you again. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of this law. Now, I wanted to go back to that verse for two reasons. First of all, we have a test question about that, and here's your test question. Blank things belong to God. Revealed things belong to us and our children. So, secret things belong to God. Very good. Revealed things belong to us and our children. And we talked about that verse a little bit our last session, but it's worthy for us to go and revisit this again and talk about it a little bit more.
Okay, you have to, if you look at the context, and you have to always look at context in order to get the meaning. People cherry pick scriptures and put their own private interpretation to it. If you're just reading along, it almost sounds out of place. That verse, and oftentimes it's used just pulled out. But when you look at the context of it, Moses is constantly talking about the law, which is the Word of God, which is the will of God. The Word of God and the will of God are the same. You understand? God reveals His will through His Word. And so Moses has gone through all these things, rehearsing this to this generation that's getting ready to go in to the promised land, revealing to them the will of God. And he tells them there are secret things that belong to God, but the things that's been revealed belong to us and our children. So you make sure that your children know what God has revealed as far as His will. This is the revealed will of God. Now you think about that from a New Testament believer perspective. We have the Scriptures. We have the Word of God. This Word of God is the will of God. And so this will of God has been and is being revealed to us, and so that we will know how to fulfill the will of God. And then there are some things, secret things, that God has reserved for Himself. For instance, when's the rapture going to take place? Nobody knows, and yet they write books about it. And people are foolish enough to spend money on the books, and there's absolutely no way you're going to get an answer. That's not ours. What we need to dwell on is what God has revealed. And as we read the Scriptures, Revelation's progressive. We read and we learn something, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We see something we didn't see before, so we know something we didn't know before. Then you go back and you may read the same scripture, and you see something in that scripture that you haven't seen before. That happened to me today. There's no telling how many times I've read that scripture. But there was something revealed to me through that scripture that I just thought, wow. Well, I've seen that before. You understand? And so this is what I mean, that He has revealed and He is revealing. Okay. We stand in this class and give you information. I can tell you what's been revealed to me, but that's not your revelation. But when you hear God speak that information, it becomes revelation to you, and when it's a revelation to you, there's a conviction that goes with the revelation to the point that you can apply that. You're confident in that's what God says. And so God wants us to know His will. Over the years, many people have come to me wanting to know the will of God. Well, I say, the Bible is the will of God. We call the last will and testament. You ever read those things? Remember back in high school and all that? Your last will and testament. Well, New Testament, Old Testament. The will of God for the Old Covenant people under the law. The will of God for the New Covenant people under grace. So if you want to know the will of God, read the Word of God and quit trying to figure out stuff. Let God reveal things to you instead of you trying to work a puzzle. Just listen. Get still before God. And so this is why it's so important to read your scriptures regularly. And if you live to be a million years old, you're not going to know it all. And go ahead and get that settled on the inside of you. And so if I can settle on the inside of me, I don't know everything, then I can be teachable. But if I think I've arrived, what are you going to tell me? Already know it, right? And you see a lot of people that think, well, you know, I've been in this for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and I've read the Bible this many times and all this kind of stuff, and they think they have a corner on the market. And if you talk to them long, you'll find out just how foolish they are and how little they know about the will of God. They know a lot about religion, but not a lot about the Word. And so God has given us the Word so that we can know His will, just like Moses kept reiterating the Word to the nation of Israel so they could know the will of God. You don't have to guess. This is what God says. Your responsibility is to apply what God says. Then the will of God can be accomplished. Okay?
Thank you. Chapter 30. This chapter documents for us the provision for repentance, the choice between life and death, the choice between blessing and cursing, and Moses' recommendation and exhortation. In verse 1, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven them, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, and with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee."
So, think about this. When all the blessings and curses were spoken over, that was spoken out, or spoken to the Israelites, then they go into the land. And from Mount Gerizim, they're speaking the blessing. From Mount Ebal, they're speaking the curses. Okay, six tribes here, six tribes there. All right, once these things are spoken, they're released over the land. Okay, so it's there. There's no gray area. You either walk over here or you walk over there. And it's all by choice. And this is the thing that people don't realize. God is not going to force you to follow Him. God will invite you. Anytime in the New Testament when you're seeing the call of God, it's talking about the invitation of God. If you look at the definition itself, it's speaking of the invitation. God is inviting you. Okay? Now, you choose whether you go that direction, just like if you get an invitation to an event, a shower, wedding, something like that. You choose whether or not you go. Nobody's forcing you to go. Right? You have RSVPs and all that so they can get a head count. But God knows who's His are, you know. And the bottom line is we choose blessing or curse. Now, if you get under the curse, you're expelled from the land. Because of your disobedience to the blessing. Your disobedience to the Word of God, to the will of God. But if you follow the will of God, then you occupy the land and you're secure in that land. Okay? And so they were to recall what he's telling them to do. Now you think about what I have said to you today. And you recall these things when you get into that land, that if you go this way, this is going to happen. If you go that way, that's going to happen. And if you choose to get under the curse, you can repent and turn to the Lord your God. And he's compassionate. But when you turn, you have to fully obey him. Okay? And if you're fully obeying, then the Lord will be compassionate to you. The Lord will restore you to your inheritance. But if you don't, you'll be driven out of the land just like the people before you were driven out. Well, you see that principle today. We choose whether we walk in the will of God or not. And people want to walk contrary to the will of God and enjoy the blessings of God. Well, how are you going to do that? That's like working for one company and expecting another company to pay for you.
Yes.
Try that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work, and it's not going to work here. If you want the blessing, you have to walk according to the Word. If you want to walk, if you want the curse, then don't walk according to the Word. It'll come on you too.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't like it, you better repent quick. And get back in obedience, okay?
Good. Verse 4, if any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers.
So even if they were driven because of disobedience, you understand? So if they're driven in the most distant land under heaven, if they would repent, the Lord says that he would bring them back to the land that he had promised to their ancestors, and it would become theirs. And he said he'd also give them success and their population would increase, and they would become more numerous than their ancestors. You know, from this, when you look, when Solomon became king of Judah, and he built the temple and dedicated the temple, and you look at his prayer, he's drawing from this. Lord, if the people, I'm going to paraphrase, if the people disobey you and this happens and this happens and this happens, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, you ever remember reading that? Well, that's being drawn from this, that God would hear. But here's the key. You've got to turn from that way that's not the will of God. Okay? All this is being spelled out before they ever go into the land. So they're without excuse. You understand? God tells us in advance. That's what's being done today. Through the gospel message, God's telling you in advance. If you want to live eternally with God, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll be eternally separated from God. You choose. You understand? We're getting the same choice they got. You understand? We can choose life, death. We're going to see that too. Or you can choose blessing and cursing. By choosing to obey God, the blessing. By choosing to disobey God, the curse. Nobody in their right mind is going to say, I want to be cursed. But if you don't obey God, that's what you're saying. Curse me. Bring that curse on. It shows you how foolish people are, doesn't it?
Yeah. Verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live.
So not only would the repentant Israelites be returned to the land of their inheritance if they repented, God says, I'll circumcise your hearts. Paul uses this in the book of Romans, talking about circumcision of the heart. And for many years, I couldn't understand that. You know, what is circumcision of the heart? Well, I had to learn what the heart is first. And he's not talking about the physical organ. He's talking about the very center or the core of a person. And so when you look at the core of the person, basically you have soul and spirit. And the Lord revealed this to me through the Old Testament tabernacle with the tent that represented the heart of man. But the tent was divided into two compartments. You entered in by the Holy of Holies, pardon me, by the holy place, which represents the soul of man. And so the entrance, then people go to your mind, your will, your emotions, okay. But then behind the veil was the Holy of Holies with the Ark of the Covenant representing the presence of God. Jesus, the writer of Hebrews, says he was the veil. His body was the veil. So when Jesus was crucified, what happened? The veil was torn, literally, between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. The veil was torn from top to bottom. What's that doing? It's exposing the presence of God into the area of the soul where people live. Mind, will, emotions, okay? And so now God deals from the inside out. The world deals from the outside in. And so he says, I'll circumcise your heart. To me, here's what that means. I'll give you the ability to hear me. I'll give you the ability to come into my presence. No longer will it be a high priest only. You don't need a mediator. We have a mediator, Jesus Christ. And so we don't need to go through mediators. And a lot, you know, people today, ministers and various denominations or whatever, they want you to come through them. Mm-hmm. That's your access. My access is directly to God through Jesus Christ. And so is yours. Mm-hmm. You with me? Because of the circumcision of the heart. Now we can get into the presence of God through Jesus Christ and He alone, okay? Him alone, that's how you get there. All right? And so what He's saying is, I'll give you hearts to understand. And when you look in Ezekiel, God says to them, and speaking of the future, obviously it's prophecy, okay? I'm going to take the stony heart out of you. And I'm going to put a heart of flesh in you. You won't need man telling you from the outside what you need to do. You'll know from the inside what you should do. That's the difference between the law and the grace. We don't live by the letter of the law. That's legalism. But that doesn't give you a license to sin, because on the inside of you, you have a guidance that's guiding you in a path of righteousness if you listen to it. And so you're not going to sin against God. You with me? And so now you're being led by the Spirit. Before, people are led externally. Most people today are led by circumstances rather than the Spirit. You heard the old adage, if it feels good, do it, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good indication you probably ought to leave it alone, because it's appealing to the flesh. What's it doing to the spirit? You understand? Just because it looks good doesn't mean it is good. Have you ever heard all that glitters isn't gold? Every door that opens is not God. Every opportunity is not God. The devil will open doors for you to get you to miss God. I've had opportunity, and in ministry I'm talking about. I've had opportunity in ministry. go here, make more money, you know, a more prestigious position or whatever. I'd have to miss God to do that. And I'm not willing to do it. I had a guy to tell me one time, well, everybody has a price. I said, well, you've met one that doesn't. I'm not for sale. You understand? I'm not a prostitute, so don't try to hire me. Follow the will of God. You understand? Follow the will of God. Get your heart circumcised by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then you have access to the Father. And now someone doesn't have to tell you what to do externally. You'll know from the inside what's right and what's not right. Right? I don't need anybody telling me what I'm supposed to do. I don't need anybody to tell me if I'm sinning. I've got something in here that'll kill me.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Nobody had... I told you, and I got out of church. I got away from God. And I can tell you right now, nobody had to tell me I was away from God. I knew it. I didn't need anybody telling me. I needed somebody to guide me back in and not browbeat me for being out. You know what I mean? Okay. The Lord will deal with your heart. I had people to tell me God's going to get you. I was racing motorcycles at the time. And God's going to break your leg. God's going to break your arm. God's going to do this. I never broke a bone. Been on the ground a few times, but never broke the bone, you understand? And later on, the Lord spoke to me. I was reading Romans. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. He said, my goodness caused you to repent, not my judgment. The church will try to put judgment on you to get you to repent. God will keep dealing with you. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. You're going in the wrong direction. Don't do that. That's not good for you. And you finally, you know, I'm not having fun. I'm breaking this thing all the time. Time to sell it. Yeah, you understand? Okay.
Verse 7, and the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies, and on them that hate thee, which persecuteth thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day.
Now, if you listen to this narrative, he's talking like they're already disobeyed God,
mm-hmm.
because he knows they're going to. And so he starts talking to them about repentance for disobeying God. And if you repent, then the curses that you've been experiencing, then, well, the Lord said he would put those on your enemies. They would be the ones persecuted. And Israel would once again be given the opportunity to obey the Lord, keep his commandments, and enjoy the blessing of God.
And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thy hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers.
Now, think about this. The Lord doesn't hold things against you. Religion will. People will. God will forgive you. And he tells them, all right, if you get out there and you'll repent,
mm-hmm.
then I'll make you abound in your labor. In other words, you're going to be prosperous in your labor, in the fruit of your bodies. I'll bless your livestock and produce of your land. And I'll rejoice over you with good, like I rejoice over you with evil, because you got out there where you shouldn't have been, doing what you shouldn't have been doing. And so all you have to do is keep the commandments, do what I say, follow this book of the law, and you'll be blessed. But the blessing was contingent upon the repentance. But here's what I want you to see in this. God is merciful. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't give you a license. People say, well, I can get forgiveness easier than I can get permission. Well, you're gambling. You understand? I agree. God does forgive. But what happens to you if you die while you're out there? You have to look at the whole picture. You understand? And, you know, when you're younger, you don't think you're going to die. You're going to live forever. You know, you're just doing stupid stuff, and it's going to happen to everybody else. It's not going to happen to me. You know, that person had a wreck. No, I'm a good driver. I'm not going to have a wreck. And that person did this. Well, I'm not that stupid. I'm not going to do that. Yeah, you are. You see where I'm coming from? We've got to wake up and not just take for granted that because God's merciful, we're going to get by with everything. No, there's a repentance involved. And if we'll repent, God doesn't put you on probation. That is amazing. Denominations will put you on probation. God restores you. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
That's just almost beyond comprehension. And that's the kind of God we serve.
If we look at the end of that 11th verse, which I didn't read, but Pete's talked about, it says, if you turn unto the Lord thy God, here's the repentance, but here's how we do it, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. And so here again, I say this so often, but I see this as a matter of the heart. If you are truly submitted to God, with all your heart, with all your soul, if you've repented, turned to Him, you're not going to have that desire to gamble and let me see if I can get away with this. But because the committed heart, the committed soul, is going to want to serve God.
A lot of people repent in their head but not their heart. They're sorry they got caught.
Yeah.
You understand? I was like that for a long time. You know, I'm sorry I got caught, but I'm still wanting to do what I want to do. You know, that's not repentance.
No.
Repentance comes from the inside. I don't want to do that. Lord, help me. I don't want to do that. And when I got to where I didn't want to do it, I stopped doing it. When I repented, I repented. Prior to that, it's just playing games, trying to play games with God. And it won't work. But thank God for mercy.
Yeah. Verse 11, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it.
Now, think about this.
Yeah.
Moses says, I'm setting before you life and death. The choice is yours. With life comes good. With death comes evil. I've commanded you to love the Lord your God, to walk in the ways of God, to keep His commandments, statutes, judgments, all that. By doing these things, you can live and multiply. You'll increase in your population. And the Lord will bless you in the land where you're going to possess. And I'm ahead of you, right?
Yes.
Now you've got that, right?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm going to go back.
Okay.
So, He tells them, now what I've told you is not too difficult. I've read it. Not only have I read it, you'll find that He writes it in a book.
Mm-hmm.
He's already written it to the first generation, okay? But He writes this in a book. And so He says, you're not going to have to try to say, well, I guess the will of God's in heaven, so that's too far from me. Who can ascend up to heaven? Or it's over there in another country. That's across the sea, and that's too far from me. He said, no, the word's near you. Paul quotes this in the 10th chapter of Romans. He's quoting from right here in Deuteronomy. The word is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. That's the word of faith which we preach is the way he said it. Okay. And so what Moses is saying, you've got this right here before you. So you're without excuse. You understand? If you've got it before you, you're without excuse. Well, I don't know what the Bible says. Do you read it? Well, no, I just don't have time. You're without excuse. You understand? There's no excuse for not reading. I choose whether I read the Bible or not. Well, you know, we say, I don't have time. Everybody has the same amount of time. The 24 hours in a day. We set the priority. And so, what's more important to me? That's what I'll be doing. There was a time in my life that wasn't the most important thing to me. You understand? I had everything else on my mind. Looking for this and looking for that. And so that consumes my thinking. I can say, well, I don't have time to read. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And what I find is you make time for what you want. It's amazing people that don't have time to do things for God have time to do things for themselves. They have time for fun. They don't have time for God. Okay? Here again, it's choosing. And so, by the choices we make, knowing we have the Word in front of us, I don't have to drive to another state to find out the will of God. I don't have to look for some TV evangelist to tell me what the will of God is. I don't have to go to some conference with some celebrity minister to tell me what the will of God is. It's near me. It's right here in front of me. And God is everywhere. He's not just in this state or that state. God's everywhere. God's right here. God's in my house. God's in your house. I mean, it's just a matter of giving God attention. And when you give God attention, you're going to find out what omnipresent means. He's everywhere. But are you paying attention? Are you looking for Him? Is He a priority in your life? If He is, you're choosing life. If you don't make Him a priority in your life, you put Him on the back burner, you're choosing death. I learned this. I didn't just get out of church all at one time. I would need to do something on Sunday. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I may go back to church the next Sunday. Then I'd miss, and I found out the more I missed, the easier it was to miss.
Yeah.
In other words, that conviction's not mm-hmm. there. Now, I can start searing mm-hmm. my conscience to the point that I just walked away.
Mm-hmm.
Totally out. I know you can look at me as a rascal, but I bet you that you were there's some other rascals in here too. Okay? I'm just trying to help you. Okay? Just to show you the love of God, the forgiveness of God. Okay? I chose what I wanted to do by the priorities I set. And for many years, racing was my priority. That was it. That consumed me. I gave my life to that. It wasn't just Sunday, it was every day. You understand? That just had me consumed. And I thank God for delivering me from that. No, I didn't have to go through an exorcism. Okay? Some people think you got to cast the devil out for everything. No, here's the thing. The more attention I gave to God, the less attention I gave to that. And today, I could care less. You understand? I'm not even interested in it today. And at one time, it was my God. I wouldn't have said that at the time, but that was what I was serving by choice. And so we set our priorities. Will I choose life? It's not God doing it, people. Why would God send somebody to hell? He doesn't. He'll let you go if you want to. But what a dumb choice. You understand? He'll deal with your heart to keep you from making that bad choice that you can keep pushing it away and suppressing. Moses says, I'm setting before you basically life, death. Follow the word of God, live. Don't follow the word of God, you're going to die. I would recommend following the word of God. And I'd recommend to you, follow the word of God. Amen. And it's been recommended to me that I stop. So I'm going to stop here so you can take a break. Okay.